The series is going to be about the harvest. The harvest is ready, but the workers are few. So I really felt in my spirit, I wanted to really talk about the harvest. What is it? This might be a verse you've heard about as a believer, and you're like, well, what is this about? We're going to talk about what it's about and how important it is. Matthew 9 and verse 35. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." Now, first of all, what is the harvest? The harvest is people who are in need of what the Lord Jesus has, okay? So the harvest is not about collecting money. The harvest is not about big fancy buildings. The harvest is about people who Jesus saw that were broken and in need. People who needed healing. People who were struggling with depression. Maybe people who were just rejected. People who were oppressed. People who needed what he had, that was his harvest. And you see, Jesus was God in the flesh, but he was limited to one body. And the people that he could touch, the people that he could reach, the people that he could speak to were receiving. But when he looked around after a long, long day of ministering and praying, he saw people, many people, and they didn't have somebody to lead them. You see, the harvest is about bringing people, helping people find and follow Jesus so that they can experience his love, his healing, his forgiveness, so that they can live abundantly. And according to Jesus' words then and even now, this continues. The harvest is ready. There's a big harvest. Unfortunately, there isn't always enough people for the harvest. What is Jesus saying? He is trying to encourage his followers. He's bringing a point that they can see and understand. We need workers, boys. We need workers, ladies. And he starts them off by saying, pray. I want to say this about the harvest before we get further in the message. The harvest is an exciting time. You planted seeds, you had to weed it, you had to water it. And then when harvest came, you got to gather the fruit of your labor. So harvest is an exciting time, but it does require work. Work is required to bring in the harvest. Anybody who's had a garden, those tomatoes didn't just fall off the tomato plant and land on your table and turn into salad. But you got to go pick them as they're ripe. And you got to check them every day or they'll end up going bad and falling off the vine and, you know, the bugs will get them. You ever had raspberries? You got to pick them when they're ripe or they'll get little buggies and little worms in there. If you've ever planted turnips, I have to say I feel sorry for you. Why? But anyways, I remember we had turnips and mom had planted turnips. We harvested turnips. It happened to maybe be a little bit wet that year or something. I pulled the turnip and there's worms coming out of the turnips. I have never eaten turnips since. But anyhow, harvesting is an exciting time except for turnips. And when you harvest, it's like, wow, everything that was put into this is now showing up for us to partake of. You see, the harvest that Jesus has, his kingdom harvest, is exciting. And if you're not afraid of work, you get to rejoice and be part of that harvest. So a couple things about the harvest that I want to touch on and help you to understand here this morning. You see, the time to do harvest work is right now. You see, we serve a now God, and there is a now harvest all around us. John 4:28. This is a story I've read before, but I'm not really going to go into the story, but I want to go into the ending of what Jesus is talking about. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, listen to this, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus replied, "I have a kind of food you know nothing about." "Did someone bring him food while we were gone?" the disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work." Everybody say work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. You see, his harvest is about people. And if you remember the story, Jesus talked to the woman at the well. She realizes this must be the Messiah. She goes back and tells the village. It says they were streaming out to the well. While this is happening, Jesus' followers come back, and they were sent on a mission to get food. They were going into the town to get food. They were doing what they were told. They come back with the food for Jesus, and they're saying, "Eat." And he's telling them, "No, I don't feel like eating right now because there's a harvest right now." And their thing is, did somebody else bring him food? You see, Jesus said to them, "Wake up." Why would he say that? Because he had called them into harvest. He had called them to be workers with him, and they didn't see the harvest right in front of them. There was literally a whole bunch of people streaming out there. I mean, what did they think? They're like, man, everybody wants water at the same time from the well. Like, I don't know, but they did not see it. They were focused on the day-to-day. They were focused on the food. And Jesus says, right now, I don't actually feel like eating. Because there is a whole bunch of people that need what I have. They need healing. They need forgiveness. They need a touch. And he says it clearly to them. Wake up, the fields are ready. They're ripe for harvest. You see, the harvest is now. And when the harvest is ready, you can't just put it off. You can't be like, well, it's ready, but you know, I just feel like I want to go quadding today instead. Now the harvest is ready, but you know, I'm just tired. I'm going to sleep for a couple days. There is lots of scripture about that. When the harvest is ready, the harvest is ready. When the wheat is ready to be harvested at the exact right time, it needs to be brought in. If you leave it there for too long, it'll fall off in the ground and be ruined. When the harvest is ready and the sun is shining, you harvest no matter what. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Are you wondering when's the right time to give your life to Christ? Are you wondering when is the right time to do something for the Lord? Now. Too often we are tomorrow kind of people. Well, I'll use my gift. I'll do something for the Lord when, you know, when I get this credit card paid off. Or I'll do it, you know, I just, right now my house needs some cleaning up. Your house has needed cleaning up for a year. Stop it. Okay. Do it now. Everybody has spots in their house. They don't care. Bring them in. Do a life group if you're called to. You see, it's not about when or someday. You make a decision now and you start with what you can. You do the little things. You use your gift now because the harvest is now. You see, out in our community, there are people that are broken and hurting all around us. Just like Jesus, when he looked out and saw those crowds, he saw beyond the face. He saw beyond the exterior, beyond the fake smiles. Beyond the, ha-ha, everything's wonderful. Beyond the, ho-ho, everything's wonderful. I got to, you know, get the guys and the girls here. He saw beyond it. He saw inside. And there is a community that God has placed us in that needs us. They need what Jesus has given us, and they need it now. So are we willing to do it now? John 9, verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man or his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with saliva, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Jesus says something really interesting here. He says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. I must work the works. It's God's work. It's different. You see, I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. Jesus is looking at his followers. He's looking at the crowd around him. He knows there are some religious people there that don't like him. And if he does a miracle on the Sabbath day, they're going to be after him. And he looks out at everybody who can hear and he says, I'm supposed to work. I'm supposed to do it now while it's daytime. In other words, there is a need in front of me. The time to look after it is now. There's somebody who's been blind since birth, standing in front of me in need and obviously believing. And he said, I need to do it now. And he would do that miracle, and the Pharisees would be extremely angry at him. And they would decide that he is not from God because he worked on the Sabbath. And Jesus would tell them, another time when they're upset at him, if one of you has a donkey and it falls in a well on the Sabbath day, won't you get it out and save its life? And they'd be like, well, of course we would. Isn't this person of more value than your donkey? You see, God's kingdom work needs to be done now. No religious excuses, no excuses at all can keep you from beginning and using your gift now. Well, I just don't think I'm in the right headspace right now. Okay. I don't know what that means, but okay. I think you should maybe try something now. Well, you don't know what I've been through. I don't, but I know what he's been through. I know that the Lord Jesus went through it all for our sakes. He paid the price so that we could be healed. I think if you begin something for him, he's got you. I don't think he's going to let you go. I don't think he's going to leave you in the middle of it. I think if you take a step of faith for him, he's going to meet you right there because he's a good God, and the time is now. Let me say this. I'm actually to my second point now. Don't worry, I only have three. Second point, the Lord's harvest, his work, is more important than anything else. The Lord's work is more important than anything else. Did you know that when Jesus talked to the people around him, he said, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. Deny myself? We live in Canada, Western Canada, Alberta, the wealthiest, most amazing province there is. But guess what? Sometimes we get this mindset of, I want everything to be comfortable and better. Deny myself? Like, don't fulfill what I need and what I want? That's what deny means. Take up my cross? Isn't the cross like a weapon of torture and death? Take up my cross. What does he mean by that? He would explain it and say, you need to die to yourself. In other words, self is not the number one thing you serve anymore. Oh, wow, this is good. Well, I would come and help on the coffee bar, but you know, I just had a rough night. Well, tell the devil to quit giving you a rough night and show up and show him he can't stop you. And you know, this isn't about the people working in the church. It's just, that's my life, so I kind of throw things out like that. Your gift could be something completely out there. And we're going to talk a little bit about how your gifts, God may have placed you in a job, in a workplace, and that's where your gift is supposed to be used. So just forgive me if everything I throw out is about the church, because that's my life. But there are gifts he's given you that you need to use now where you work. And there's a harvest where you work. Did you know that? There is a harvest where you work. He said things like, if you're going to follow me, you're going to need to love me more than your family. One version says, hate your family and love me. We understand the interpretation means you're going to have to love me more than them. because God doesn't ask us to hate people. He says to love even your enemies. But the contrast was put there on purpose, a play on words to make you understand you have to choose him even over family. Maybe there's some here today, you chose to follow Jesus and certain family members won't talk to you anymore. They're like, oh, you know, we just want to have fun drinking, and whenever they show up, don't call them. Don't call them to the barbecue or the bonfire. They're just like party poopers. I don't know if that's a word anymore, but hey, if you choose to follow Christ fully, some people might not like you, and it might even be family members. Family members know all your mistakes and all your issues, right? And they'll be like, oh, sure, you're going to church now. Oh, you're a Christian, are you? Yeah, we know about you. That'll only last 2 months. Why does family have to be so rough sometimes? It's okay, you love them anyways. And tell you, oh no, it's going to last much longer, and a year from now, you're going to be sitting beside me. Just go all out for him. But you see, you're going to have to love him even more. The standards that Christ set for those who wanted to follow him, the level of commitment is unbelievable. You see, you don't choose to follow Jesus as a side thing. Yeah, I think I'll follow Jesus whenever things aren't going good. Yeah, I'm just going to follow Jesus when I have nothing better to do. Seriously? Then you don't understand following Jesus. Because he said it should be the most important thing in your life. You see, he had one guy come to him and said, hey, I want to follow you, Jesus, but first let me go and bury my father. Now, we're not given a lot of detail. His father could have still been healthy but old. And he was saying, you know, I want to first let him live out his last days and get the inheritance or something, and then I'll follow you. We don't know the details, but we know what Jesus said. He looked at him and said, really? Let the dead go bury the dead. Ouch. Jesus said some ouch things. He basically told that guy, if all you can think about is the natural, your inheritance, and everything else, you are spiritually dead and you're not ready to follow me. Oh, ouch. Yeah, some of you would be like, I ain't going to his church. That guy's mean. You see, the level of commitment that Christ asked you to put in when you said you'll serve him is that his work will be the most important thing in your life. Nothing else. Another person would come to Jesus and said, Lord, I want to follow you. And Jesus said, okay, you can follow me, but you know what? I can sense, you know, we don't read this. I'm giving you some my own interpretation. I can sense that you are kind of attached to all your wealth. So if you want to follow me, just go ahead and sell all that so none of it will hinder you or bother you, and then you come follow me. And he told him to give it to the poor. He wasn't asking for himself. And then you can come follow me. Did you know the young man went away and said he went away sorrowful? Because his wealth was more important to him than Jesus' harvest, Jesus' kingdom work. And he couldn't let it go. Wow. The most important work is the Lord's harvest, and Jesus said so. Another person would come and say, Lord, I want to follow you, but first, let me go home and, you know, say farewell to my family, and then I'll come. You see, farewell to the family in those days could have been a week-long event. It wasn't just a, hey, give me a hug, see you later. You know, I want to pack my tote bag. It was a big deal, and, you know, it may have, just for him, all he could think about at that moment was family. But for you and me, we're like, well, what's so bad about that? Like, he'd still be there, right? Take a little time. And then Jesus says these words that some of you have heard before. He says, nobody putting their hand to the plow and looking back is fit for my kingdom. Yeah, you can say ouch again. Ouch. What? He just wanted to say goodbye, didn't he? He wasn't all in. You see, he was mostly in, but not all in. And he showed it by his words what was most important to him. And Jesus is basically saying, you won't be able to work in my harvest. You're not completely sold out. You're not all in. You're not ready to do this with your whole being. You're like looking back. Yeah, I want to serve Jesus, but oh man, the past was kind of fun. Oh, no, I won't look. I remember some of those parties. No, I won't look. Yeah, Jesus, I'll serve you, but can I just go back for a little while? Because I'm like, I got some pretty awesome friends. Like, they're amazing. Oh, okay, I'll plow. And you look back, and that is the most nasty plow furrow you have ever seen. You see, Jesus had a standard that said, hey, you want to serve me? That's awesome. I love you. I'm going to be with you. I'll never leave you, forsake you. I got some great things for you, but are you all in? Or is this sort of a halfway commitment for you? Church, I'm not here to make you feel bad. I am here to stir your hearts. I want to know, are you all in? Do you understand the importance of his work? You see, Jesus just didn't say it. He lived it and he showed us. John 6, 38. Jesus speaks this to his followers. I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What does he say so clear? I'm not here to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. You see, everything about serving the Lord says putting myself and my own stuff aside and saying, okay, I'll do what you want, Lord, whatever you want. You see, Jesus would pray these same words in the Garden of Gethsemane much later. When he shared this the first time, I didn't come to do my own will, the Father's will. They were in the middle of revival. There was healings and miracles and great things happening. But he would say it again also when it was the lowest and worst time. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. His followers are asleep. And he's being pressured with what is about to come. And he says at that time to his Father, Father, if there is some other way we can do this. Like, he knows he is about to be tortured and hung on a cross and killed for all mankind. And he says, God, is there some other way? Because this is heavy. Is there some other way? And then he finishes with, can you take this cup from me? Is there some other way? He says, but you know what, God? Not my will. Your will be done. You see, people who are all in have said, yes, I will serve God. They say, not my will, but your will. In the good times, they say, not my will, but your will when everything is not going well. You see, you can't be an in and out shaky Christian and have God use you. You've got to be all in when it's awesome. You got to be all in when people have deserted you. You got to be all in when it's rough. When the friends won't answer your texts anymore because you said you're a Christian, are you still all in? See, it's easy to be all in when things are going great and you're receiving miracles and you got the new job and everything's going great. It's hard to be all in when God's placed you in a job that's really tough and you don't even like it. But you know he put you there. He put you there to be a light. Are you still all in? It's easy to be all in when the relationships are going great. But someone rejects you and they no longer want to be your friend. Are you still all in? When family members kick you out, are you still all in? Have you made up your mind that the most important thing in your life is Jesus' kingdom work, his harvest, his plan for you? Because if you have, I got some great news. He's looking for some good workers for his harvest. You're like, well, I don't know. Like, I don't got everything perfect. I've not seen him choose one perfect person because there was no perfect people except him. But are you all in? Are you willing to give it your best for him? Are you willing to work for him with what you've got? Because I found out from Scripture, if you give what you got your best, he gives more anyhow. And then you do more. You see, the most important work is the work of the Lord. No excuses. Scripture says you can't serve two masters, okay? You can't serve two masters, and in that terminology was that of a slave. You can't be a slave to two masters bossing you around. And in that actual scripture, he says you can't serve God and money. He says money can become a god, okay? Now, in our day and age, you might say you can't serve two masters. You can't serve, oh boy, I could get in trouble for this. Is the Lord and his will more important to you than your way of making money? Well, I did that pretty good. I didn't say your job. Oh, I just did. Okay. More important than your way of making money. Is his will more important than your way of making money? Because you will come to a crossroad at some point. Always of what's more important. And if you continually choose one over the other, that one will become bigger and bigger, and this one will become less and less. Because the enemy loves when you choose your way of making money, and he'll make sure that you never have time to do what God wants, if you choose that. So the Lord will allow you to come to a spot where you make a decision, and then he'll bless you, and you'll keep going and keep being blessed in the way you make money. But you have to, how shall I say, pass that little test. If you don't pass that test, you will be working nonstop, never have time for the Lord, and for some reason never really have enough finance. So there has to be a time in your life where you say, okay, decision time. But what's more important to you? God's going to allow you to find that question out at some point. You run a business, your business will run you into the ground if you let it own you. Your business can't own you. You own the business. And you tell the business, I've set time aside for church. I've set time aside to use my gift. If you don't, the enemy will make sure that you are run into the ground so that you don't have time to even come up and breathe and use those gifts. What's more important? I'm praying today that you understand it and you're like, God's work is the most important thing to me. I'm all in. You see, the closer we come to the end of the time, even it is more important to see God's harvest of reaching people fulfilled. It was important in Jesus' day. It's even more important now, according to Scripture. I'm going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In all holy conduct and godliness. God is not slack concerning his promise of returning. It said that Christ would one day return and gather all his people. He's not being slow about it. He is not wanting people to perish. So what does that mean? He wants more people to find and follow him, to receive his gift. How do people find and follow Jesus? Workers in the harvest do their job. So who's the workers? Well, it must be the pastors. Pastors are workers. Yep, they're one of the workers. Who else would we consider as workers? Anybody who's a believer is called to be a worker in his harvest. Did you know that? Anybody who calls himself a Christian. See, being Christian isn't a name tag that you put on your forehead. Being Christian is a way of life. And that way of life requires you to work in his harvest. Well, I'll just leave that for somebody else. It comes with being a Christian. If people don't step up, if they don't step out, they're going to miss out on everything God has for them. They're going to continue on this slow, steady path of lukewarmness. And I don't want anybody to end up on the final day like the guy who was given one talent of silver and hid it in the ground and brought it up and said, oh yeah, gee, I didn't do anything with it, but at least I didn't lose it. To me, that is a fail. And I believe God wants you to succeed and be victorious. And victorious people step out. Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. What? In other words, if none of us do harvest work, the end isn't going to come. Well, actually, God will find somebody else to do it. But he wants to use you, not somebody else. He's looking at you. He's chosen you. That's why you're here today hearing this message. He wants you to be involved. And he wants you to be a part of reaching others for him. Hebrews 10:25. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing nearer. One version says, provoke one another to good works. I think that's what I do. I'm going to go with that. Poke a little bit. Stir up a bit. God wants you to get involved. You're like, well, I'm older. I've done lots of that. If you're still here and breathing, he wants you doing something. You've been given gifts. Use those gifts, and as we said, multiply those gifts. Train somebody else, pass it on to others. My last point. We must pray for more workers in God's kingdom, and we must become available workers ourselves. There's that great song that says available. What does that mean? It means you are saying to the Lord, I am here. I'm available, Lord, to do whatever you ask me to do. That's quite a statement to tell him, by the way. If you say you're available, don't fool around. Because he's going to be like, good. I've been waiting for that. Matthew 9:38, which is the part of that scripture we read at the beginning. Therefore, pray to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He tells all his disciples, pray that the Lord of the harvest, which is God himself, the Father, that he would send out workers in his harvest. You read that, and then you read in the next chapter, the first verse, and Jesus gathered together his 12 disciples, and he gave them power and authority, and he sent them out. I love the way God does stuff in Scripture. He's like, you guys need to start praying about it, and then I'm going to just give you power and send you out. What happens when you pray for God's harvest? This is something that I'm going to ask you. I'm going to challenge you to be praying for his harvest this week, because it's the first step, really, to anything that God does is prayer. I'm going to challenge you to pray about his harvest. When you begin to pray about hurting people, people who need him, people who are lost, people who have no hope, people who are depressed, people who are in addictions, when you begin to pray for them, here's what God's going to do. He's going to suddenly start giving you passion. He's going to let you feel what they feel. He's going to show you things you maybe didn't even want to see. And then he's going to talk to you. And he's going to say, so what do you want to do? Are you willing to do a life group? Are you willing to pray for that person at work that you don't even like? Are you willing to talk with that person about what you believe? Are you willing to forgive that person who has done you wrong because I've asked you to, and that person who's done you wrong is hurting, broken, and doesn't know me, and is destined for a place called hell, and you are the one person that I can call on, that I trust will go forgive and will show him my love, because nobody else will. Are you willing to do that? Or do you want to hold a grudge? Yeah, I don't want to go there, Lord. Do we really want to go there? You might be the only person in that person's life who knows what God has, who's filled with his love and has the ability to see them changed. And because you don't want to forgive, there's a door closed. They can't come. Has anybody here ever been forgiven? You've been forgiven. Okay, if you're a believer, you have to put your hand up. If you've had parents, I'm pretty sure you were forgiven. You know, like, unless they disowned you. But if they didn't disown you, you were forgiven by parents, pretty sure. We've all been forgiven. Why can't we give forgiveness to others? You see, the forgiveness we were given by Jesus, we didn't deserve. But he gave it to us, and then he asked us to forgive others. When you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean they deserve to be forgiven. It means because of who you are, you forgive them. You release yourself, and you release them from the hurt, from the wrong, and you forgive. You see, when you begin to pray for others to be sent out, God's going to nudge your heart. He's going to ask you, what do you want to do? And some of you, of course, are already involved. You're already doing what you're called to do. But maybe you're doing something right now and you're just kind of tired and ho-hum, bored with it, because God is calling you to something higher, to something different, to something more. Don't ever get stuck in a rut. Don't get, well, we're going to use that term, lukewarm. Stay on fire for him. And my prayer is that I've fired you up a little bit before we're done here today. I do not want a church of people who just comes to warm chairs and goes out in the week and nobody even knows they're a Christian. That's not okay. That's not people who understand harvest. Now, I don't also want you going out and forcing tracks in people's face and acting like an idiot. But can you show people love? Can you talk when they want to talk? If you see someone who's about to break into tears, can you offer to pray for them? I've asked people if they'd like prayer, and I can honestly tell you, I've never had someone say no. It happens, but it hasn't actually happened to me. Now, typically, I'm sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's saying, and I can tell, okay, this person's really ready for prayer. I don't just ask every random person, do you want prayer? But even if someone did say no, and you had 10 people who said yes, my goodness, you're working in the harvest. You're a part of changing lives. Be available. God's looking for available people. Not perfect people. Available people who are willing to learn and grow. Available people. When I say available, what I mean is you're willing to do what it is that he's asked, whatever it is that he's asked. You know, it comes to my mind when I think about this. For some of us, we have like heroes or people that we think are amazing, and it's like, man, they just accomplished so much. You know, maybe we can look at the sports world. I don't know if you have sports people, you're like, wow, like maybe you have a certain fighter you like to watch. They're just so amazing. Maybe it's a hockey player. Maybe it's a basketball player. How about hockey? I should be more safe if I say hockey. Okay, whew. If you didn't like hockey and slave like, but you get the point. Whatever it is, this person, you're like, wow, it's so amazing. The thing is, they made themselves available years ago, and they made a decision that it would be the most important thing in their life, and they worked at it with all their might, guaranteed. If you had the opportunity right now to go spend a week with the most famous person that you think has accomplished so much in sports, and you could spend a week doing exactly what they did, a lot of you would come home crying like a baby, because man, they work hard. They get up at 5 a.m. and they begin their routine, and then they go to the next thing, and then they go to the practice, and then when they're done, they do it all again, and then they have to follow the eating regimen that their coach or their health guy has given them, and they got to eat only this at this time and this much, and their lives are scheduled, and they are all in. Some of us, well, we want the glory. We want it to be like that, but oh, you want me to do that? Yeah, God wants you all in what he has for you. All in. You're like, well, I want to be a singer. Well, then you're going to probably have to sing more than once a month in the shower. Like, serious. You go all in. You're practicing every day. You're stretching. You're warming up your vocal cords. You're practicing with the people online that coach. You're practicing with the songs you love. You sing, you sing, you sing. You're all in. One day I want to preach. Well, then you start practicing preaching. You preach. You preach to the chair. You preach to your kids. You preach to your spouse. You preach, you preach, you preach. And then you get feedback. Get honest feedback from people who love you that will tell you you stink if you stink. We'll give you tips on how to get better. But if you are really wanting something, then you are all in. Well, I just want God to do a miracle so that I can be, yeah, okay. You'll still be sitting there not doing what he's asked a few years from now. All in. Well, I just want to show up late. Like, you know, I'm busy. This doesn't matter if I show up 10 minutes late to everything. Ooh, Lord, why do I have to talk about this kind of stuff? It's okay. I was worshiping when some of y'all came in late. It's okay. I didn't see you. Well, yeah, my kid had, I know situations happen. Your kids throw up. Kids get sick. People who are all in show up early. Oh, Lord. You see, God's calling you to a higher standard. You want to see and experience the fullness of what he has? Then you got to go all in. You will not really experience what he has if you're just, I'll dabble and dibble and I'll try. No, you go all in. All in. Sold out. I've met a lot of people over the years and they're like, you know, I wish I could get a promotion at work, or I wish I could go to another level. Did you know that in all my years in the workforce and talking and praying with people, never once, listen to me, not once have I seen someone who complains and has a bad attitude get a promotion. Not once. Never happens. But yet, we're like, oh, I want God to promote me and use me greatly, but we're like, oh, I don't want to do that. That's too hard. Well, I would serve God, but the one time he didn't answer my prayer. I told him I wanted to have a girlfriend. He didn't give me one. Are you all in? Because when you're all in, God says, that's great. I see you. I need you. Because you see, he's looking for workers. But he's not looking for people who say they're workers. He's looking for workers. I know there's some of you, man, you work hard at your job. You're a worker. God's chosen you because he already has seen, man, you know how to work. You show up, you get stuff done. And he's saying, can you do some of that for me? Can you be all in? And for some of you, there's promotion coming because you're all in. I'm going to take a bit of time at the very end of this service to pray for those of you who are here about being all in. And I'm going to pray for those of you who might be weary. You might be depressed. Maybe some this whole message, you're like, oh, I'm so wore out. If someone could just get that guy off the stage, I'd go home and sleep. Like, you might be here with that feeling. You're like, you're tired, man. And here he's preaching this. Maybe you're here and you've been so hurt, wounded, and rejected. You're like, I'm never trying anything again. We're going to pray for you at the end of service because God is not finished with you. He is not done with you. And those people who rejected you and hurt you, they were wrong. God has given you a gift. And he wants you to be all in. I want to transition slightly and say this. Maybe you are here today and you have never even accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never even begun this process of allowing him to change you and forgive you. You see, the call to follow him first comes with, I've accepted him. And by the way, did I mention the harvest is an exciting time? Like, Pastor, you didn't sound too excited. It's an exciting time! And he's looking for people who want to work. You see, in Jesus' time, the guys who had the harvest fields ready, they would go into town in a certain area, and early in the morning, people who were ready to work would gather. And the field bosses would show up and say, hey, I need 7 guys in the field, you. And Jesus, of course, tells a story about this, and he says that a story that they would understand. And he says, there was guys standing there ready to work. There were some that got hired early in the day. Some got hired at lunchtime. Some got hired at 3:00 in the afternoon. And they all got paid the same. And that's a whole thing I'm not going to go into. But this was a real thing back in the day. You see, the boss of the harvest that we're talking about is the Lord Jesus. And he is standing. He's come. He's saying, the harvest is ready. I need workers. And I believe he comes, and right now he's seeing this church full of people, and he sees workers, he sees people ready and willing. And he's saying, can I choose you and you and you and you? Are you willing? Are you all in? Because it's going to be kind of hot in the field today. Man, you're going to get dusty. Yeah, I got some water and stuff, and I got people, they're going to look after you, but it's going to be pretty hard. I'm looking for people ready to work. I don't need someone who's going to just go lay under a tree off the corner of the field. If you're ready, he wants you. And guess what? He pays really well. He's a good God. He doesn't say, come work and ha, 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 and now I'm done with you and throw you off. No. He pays really well. You see, his rewards are out of this world. Literally. His rewards happen here and now, he says to his followers. I'm going to bless you 100-fold. And he says there will be rewards in heaven as well. He pays really well. It almost sounds like I'm trying to get workers or something for the harvest. Like a commercial. The pay is amazing. And some of you are still like, I don't know. It is. So let me say this. If you have never signed up to follow him, now's your time. And it's simple. You see, the gift that he paid for, all he wants for us to do is to ask. If you believe that Christ is real, that he died and paid a price for you, then you just need to use words. And so we're going to take opportunity to use words today. And I'm going to ask you to repeat this simple prayer after me for the one or two who have maybe not yet done this. So please repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I choose today to follow you. Amen. Give him praise for that in the house.